Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Basketball Fiends Podcast, a proud member of the Arasquina Podcast Network. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr.
And I'm Alex Aguilera, and we are the Basketball Fiends. So, we're going to have to jump right into it. Unfortunately, it's some bummer news on Jamal Murray, who tore his ACL recently in a win, I believe, over...
No, it's a loss.
They did lose.
They were losing to the Warriors.
They lost to the Warriors, but no, they had won like 17 out of their last.
They were like on a pretty good
20
run
or something like that. That's where I'm getting it mixed up. So my mistake. But anyway, Jamal Murray unfortunately tore his ACL. He is out indefinitely. But as ACL injuries go, you're out for a solid year for the most part, you know, with surgery and rehab. So it looks like he's done for the rest of the season, and this is a blow to the Denver Nuggets, who were in a groove. Jamal Murray was their second leading scorer with 21.5 points. You know, playmaker was, you know, in the groove with that pick and roll with Jokic. So, Jesus, you know, tell me, my man, you know, how much does this hurt for the Nuggets?
I know it hurts for Denver, right? Let's just get that out the way. But as a basketball fan, as an NBA fan, as somebody who watches game, even from the press perspective, it was an injury felt across the whole fandom, the whole NBA industry, because of the kind of player that he is and the kind of step he took this year. You know, he took his bubble play from last season and just it kept trekking up this season. And just like you say, him and Jokic are a perfect 1 and 2. They couldn't be so different game style wise, but yet they mesh so well, and that goes to their basketball IQ. But yes, definitely this hurts the Nuggets. You know, I ask myself, does this take the Nuggets out of contender status? And I think they still have the talent to be contender status, but on the lower end, you know, on the lower contender status. But they still have enough talent to make a run at the Western Conference Finals. I'm not saying they will, but they have talent to still make. You know, Michael Porter Jr. is going to have to step up his game. You know, everybody talks about, oh, Michael Porter Jr. can play. Michael Porter Jr. Has this talent, and he's shown it in spurts. You know, at least for me, in my eyes, from what I've seen, I think this is a perfect opportunity for him to really take the next step.
Absolutely, man. And I love the point that you made that even with Murray out, the Nuggets can still be contenders in the Western Conference. And I think too, as long as other teams are still kind of banged up, the West is still pretty open. And also too, I look at the Aaron Gordon trade and say, man, like that was a nice little blessing in disguise, because that sort of, you know, cushions, you know, that loss of Murray, where you have Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr. But at the same time too, I love how you pointed out that we've seen spurts, of Porter, and how, you know, the potential being there, but at the same time, you haven't seen it consistently. So here's that opportunity for him to come out and say, hey, you know, the lottery pick, the number one draft pick that I was touted as before that back injury, I can still be that guy. And I could definitely be that guy now. Now that Murray's out, I can help, you know, carry that load along with Aaron Gordon as well. And of course, you still got Jokic as well, you know, doing his thing. He's, you know, a leading MVP candidate.
You took the words right out of my mouth. With all the injuries happening to some of the NBA MVP contenders, Jokic has been steady, and his ranking has just gone up. You know, but I think another player that's going to have a chance to make the most of this time is Austin Rivers. Because at the time of this recording, Austin Rivers and the Denver Nuggets were in talks. You know, and I'm going to go ahead and say, you people are listening to this on Friday, Austin Rivers is a Denver Nugget. Today, I'm making that statement. Of course, it might come back and bite me in the ass, but
watch him end up somewhere random, like right? No, not New Orleans,
Brooklyn,
right?
You know, but this injury to Jamal Murray, I think, goes to a bigger discussion, Alex. You know, which is this season has been so condensed as far as schedule goes, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. The 2021 All-Stars have missed 15% of games this season. That's on pace to be the second highest since the 2014 and 15 season. You know, and in for Jamal Murray's case, the Denver Nuggets have played 7 games in 12 days. So that game where Jamal Murray got hurt, that was their seventh game in 12 days. And in that stretch, that included two back-to-backs in there. That's a lot of games. That's a lot of games.
Yeah, man, it's a lot, and it puts a strain on the body. I mean, it isn't like baseball where, you know, you play every day, but, you know, you're straining the body where you're running back and forth, up and down the court, bumping into guys a lot. So, you know, it's a lot of wear and tear on these guys, and especially for these all-stars, like you said, it was, you know, 15% have missed games. And I think that really does attribute to this compressed, you know, season, this compressed schedule where, yes, less games, but at the same time, too, you're scrunching it to fit the calendar year. And then on top of that, you've had teams that have had some COVID issues where they've had to postpone, and then you sort of have to, like, you know, double up maybe on games during the week. So, you know, it's a rough patch for a lot of players. And I hope that, you know, this, we can get through this pandemic stuff, so it's not the case, you know, next season where we kind of have to go through this, you know, compressed schedule again, because it's brought up some rough stuff, some rough issues. You know, the Jamal Murray injury, excuse me, is something that you don't want to see. That sucks to see, and you're seeing it all over the league. It isn't, you know, it isn't just him. So it's a bummer. It's a real big bummer.
Here are the players that have missed time this year: Embiid, KD, Kyrie, Harden, Butler, Oladipo, LaMelo, Hayward, Kemba, LeBert, Lowry, Fred, Love, Isaac, Robinson, AD, LeBron, CJ, Nurkic, Porzingis, Kat, D'Lo, Jaren, Clay, Wiseman, Isaiah, SGA from OKC, Wall, Wood, and many more. And that list was put together by Zach Noble. He also does a great podcast called The Roosh and Noble Show on Ball Is Life. So shout out to him for that. That's a lot of players. That's all stars missing time. You know, the fans want to see the stars play. And here's the other thing. You know, the games haven't been as competitive this season. And per ESPN stats and information, there have been more blowouts this season. More than half the games, about roughly 50%, have been decided by double digits. That's the highest rate since the 1971-72 season.
You know what? You bring that up, and now I'm curious if that factors into the play-in tournament. Ooh. Which just so happens to be
our next topic.
So that man, Mark Cuban, is not a fan of the play-in tournament, and especially with the, like we've been talking about, this compressed schedule as well. You know, it just makes things difficult. And, you know, along with Mark Cuban, Luka Doncic has voiced his opinions on the play-in tournament as well, and how he doesn't necessarily see the point behind it. But Jesus, I'm gonna let you take the floor here and sort of explain, you know, what's the dealio here.
Look, I think overall, I think it's a good move by the league, right? I think it adds excitement to the end of the schedule, which, you know, previously it didn't have. You know, we always saw teams rest players, which, hey, you know, they had earned that right because they were in the higher seedings. But for the lower seeding teams, you know, it gives them a chance. And, you know, like you said, Luka was not in favor. You know, this was his quote: "I don't understand the idea of a play-in. You play 72 games to get into the playoffs, then maybe you lose two in a row and you're out of the playoffs. So I don't see the point of that." And I can definitely understand where he's coming from, right? But I can also, my counterpoint to that is that if you don't want to be in that playing tournament, make sure you're in the top six seeds. You know, make sure you're one of those top six seeds. Because I don't know if we explained how the playing tournament goes. I'm sure most know. But in both conferences, the top six seeds, you're automatically in the playoff, and whatever seed you are in your standings, that's your seed. Now, the 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds, they're going to be in a play-in tournament. The 9 and 10 seed are going to face off each other, and the winner advances to the next round. The 7 and 8 seed play, the winner becomes the 7 seed. The loser has to play the winner of the 9 and 10 seed, and then that winner of that game becomes the 8 seed. So, essentially, as a 7 or 8 seed, you have to lose twice in the play-in tournament to miss the playoffs. As a 9th or 10th seed, you have to win twice to make it past the play-in tournament. So, I mean, it's not like it's crazy that if you're a good team, you won't get out of this play-in tournament. You know, but if Luka doesn't want to be in the play-in tournament, then hey, I mean, they're the 7th seed right now. Do you think Luka is concerned about the play-in tournament if they're the 2nd seed, Alex?
No, not at all. And I mean, it's for just to simplify maybe a little bit more, I look at it as sort of just the NBA's version of a wild card.
Exactly.
Round. you know, it's a wild card round. It gives those lower seeds to, you know, just have a chance to make a little run in the playoffs. I mean, it's a little different with baseball, with football, with hockey. But at the end of the day, a ninth or 10th seed, you know, I'm just because I know the Bulls a little bit better, you know, a team that's been vying to make the playoffs for the past couple of years now, this is their chance to take that step and improve as a franchise. And I mean, if it was the normal standard way of things, you know, they wouldn't be in the playoffs, just simple as that. But with this play-in tournament, it gives sort of these, you know, growing teams, growing franchises more of an opportunity to develop. So, I mean, I see where they're coming from. I see where Luka's coming from. I do see where Mark Cuban is coming from, where it's like, you know, why are we adding, you know, sort of this added layer of stress to what already is, you know, a stressful and overwhelming season to begin with. But at the same time, I don't think it's something that, you know, in the long run is going to be as stressful as they say it is. I think just, you know, for this season, it's such a unique season where, you know, things are rough, man. You know, it sucks. Guys are getting injured. Guys are getting hurt. Playing a lot more minutes on a lot less time on a scrunched up schedule. So it's, I don't know. I'm fine with it though.
I think, you know, it's interesting you bring up the compressed schedule once again, because I think it definitely plays a role in this discussion as well. You know, and it's a point that Mark Cuban brought up. This was a quote from an ESPN article. In a regular season of 82 games where we aren't playing 30 plus games in 6 weeks, then it might have been okay, Cuban told ESPN. And, you know, he does have a point. I think in a regular 82 game season, the playing tournament, you know, it's a little easier because, you know, the games aren't so compressed, just like you mentioned. But there's also this, is that there's no telling if the playing tournament is going to continue. They only did it this season because of the compressed schedule. Personally, and I know many fans and I know many in the press alike, they would like the NBA to have their wildcard version, which is the play-in tournament, you know? But no, it definitely, teams playing more games this season, more compressed, you know, it's made maybe some teams that wouldn't normally be in the play-in tournament or in those 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds, maybe they would have been higher. You know, I know Dallas, everybody thought they were going to be better than what they are at 7 seed. Everybody was pretty much handing the MVP trophy to Luka. But, you know, this is from the NBA. Last season, teams averaged 3.42 games per week. This season, that has gone up to 3.42 games per week, including 3.75 games per week post-All-Star break. So that is just a lot of games in such a short amount of time. And the playing tournament, you know, for those players, for those top six seats in each conference, they're going to get some time to rest up. So if I'm at 7 or 8, I'm looking at standings. What can I do to get in the top six seats so I can get that rest time?
So, you know what, a way that, you know, you might be able to get those seats to make a little run in that playing tournament is to throw up some more threes. Because that's where the game is at now, right? Yeah. And so that is actually a nice little segue into our next topic, which is the three ball in this league. We're going to, more specifically, the Phoenix Suns. I think that's what piqued everyone's interest. They actually tied the record for most threes in a half, or the first half, I should say, with 18 in a win over the Rockets recently. So if you're not good with numbers like me, I won't speak for Jesus, but if you're a media guy, journalism guy, you're probably not good with numbers, but that's a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, and it speaks to just how much this game has changed. So, Jesus, I will ask you this: you know, is it bad? I guess.
I mean, it's.
Or what is your take on just the three ball just becoming such a huge thing in scoring now in the league?
I mean, it's the way of the NBA now. You know, the Suns, they also had the most threes in a quarter, which was 12 made three-pointers in the second quarter against that game against the Houston Rockets. And that's a record that I think we're going to see break later this season or next season. Like, it's going to happen. You know, same thing with the most threes in a game. The most threes right now is 29 by the Bucks set last year. One team's going to hit more than 30 three-pointers soon. It's going to happen, you know, and it's just the way of the NBA. And Steve Nash, they recently asked him about, you know, all the threes. And he said, looking back on his career, he wished that he would have taken more than four threes a game. Can you imagine Nash took 4 threes a game? That's what forwards shoot right now. You know, some centers, you know, chuck up, you know, 4 threes a game. So, you know, it's definitely the way of the NBA now. And, I mean, I'm all for it because it allows the game to be more fluid. More people have to – you actually have to shoot in the NBA if you want to play in the NBA. I remember when I started watching the NBA, there were some players where they just didn't shoot. You know, they were more of a just a body, you know, rebounder, putbacks, you know. But now if you want to be in this league, you have to learn how to shoot. You have to be able to be a consistent – you know, a streaky shooter even. A streaky shooter, and if you can play defense, you're in the league. But you have to have a shot. Now, it also makes me think about whether this – may lead into possible rule changes, you know, because so many threes in the game, we're going to have super high scoring games, which I think is fine. You know, I think it just, it's teams are going to have to adjust defenses. You know, maybe we may see more pressure, half court pressure perhaps, but I like it. I'm all for it. Now, the one thing I don't like, and I'll ask you this as someone who also plays a lot of basketball pre-pandemic, obviously, when Curry started becoming Curry, right? With, you know, Chef Curry with the threes and everything is, whenever I would play on basketball courts, you know, and many different courts, gyms, everybody was trying to be Curry. And the thing is, nobody is Curry. So it was just a lot of misses, a lot of bricks. Like, people were building brick houses, and I was like, oh my God, drive it in, post up. Like, it doesn't always have to be threes.
Yeah, man, just, I that's where I attribute to Curry that he did, you know, really change the game in the sense of not only shooting the three ball, but with consistency. And, you know, it's, it paved the way to what the game is now. If, like you said, if you want to succeed in this league, you have to be able to shoot the three ball. You know, it's now a necessity for teams, or, you know, just teams don't mind if they want to bring in another shooter. That's where we see like a JJ Redick. You know, he's always going to be a necessity for any team. You know, a Seth Curry. I mean, I know James Harden, you know, chalks up a ton of threes, but and he's a star, but that's what's required of this league now. When Joel Embiid came into the league, he wasn't necessarily touted as a three-point shooter, and now the man can shoot a three if he needs to. Same thing with Anthony Davis. These are guys that came into the league that weren't necessarily shooters, but they've developed their games to become shooters because that's what they needed to do if they wanted to succeed. And that's why, you know, they're some of the best big men in this game, because they're very skillful and they can shoot the ball. And so now you brought up rule changes, which I found interesting. I remember in one show we had talked about earlier was, you know, hand checking.
Right.
Could that be something that, you know, makes a little comeback to, you know, I guess lower the amount of threes in a game, or, you know, illegal screens, maybe, you know, refs being more consistent with those calls, and, you know, being like, hey, like, we need to make these calls a little bit more. Or I had seen like another rule where it was no three free throws anymore. Just if you go to the free throw line, it's always just two free throws.
Interesting.
Which I found a little odd. And then there was another rule change, which is super bizarre. It was in an ESPN article. It was some insider that they had talked to. He had talked about capping threes in a game, so it would be like limit the amount of threes in a half. So like, say like a team can only shoot 20 and that's it, and then towards the end of the game, like 6 minutes left or something like that, then they can shoot as many as they want. I found it bizarre. I didn't like it too much. I found that very odd.
Yeah, I think,
but it just shows how much of an impact it's having.
Yeah, I think I think the first rule change you said that I could come back, hand checking, I think that would help a lot, to where, you know, you have a lot of shooters, so it'll make it a little bit more difficult on them. You know, I'm not saying it will completely stop it, but I think it would definitely help put a little bit more help towards a defensive player. But, you know, the NBA wants offense. They want points, you know. And one player that has been fun to watch over his 16-year career has been Chris Paul, who happens to be on the Phoenix Sun and who has been a great assist man for them as they shoot so many threes this season. But Chris Paul, in 1 week, Alex, he passed Scottie Pippen and Maurice Mocheeks to be fifth on all-time steals. Chris Paul, I got to say, I feel like we've talked about Chris Paul a lot on this podcast in our 15 episodes in so far, Alex.
Yeah, man. Look, I tried to tell you.
you did.
The get-go, when he joined the Phoenix Suns, I'm like, dude, like, that is the guy that's going to take this team to the next level. And, you know, Phoenix is doing all right. So, you know, not to say that, you know, I foresaw the future, but maybe I did a little bit. And hey, look, this guy's fifth all time on the steals list. And I think that just attributes to just, man, what a damn good player Chris Paul has been his whole career.
It just speaks to his greatness, you know. And let's remind people, he's on his 16th season at age 35. Like, and the way his play over the last two seasons, starting with OKC, now going into Phoenix, he's got me thinking about going on a plant diet. Because, I mean, if that's the kind of, you know, outcome that I can see on the court and in my body, I mean, why not, right?
I don't know if I could do a plant diet.
I know. I think about it and I'm like, man, I like bacon too much. I like chicharrones too much. I like, you know, barbecue too much, you know, tacos. And you just can't replace that flavor of that grilled meat kind of.
Yeah, man. The way I eat, I mean, I'm skinny, but I got that fast metabolism. So, like,
same.
I'm like the Flash. I gotta keep those calories up because I burn them. but anyway, back to the man we're talking about, Chris Paul. I mean, just wow. I want to say it gives him 2,311.
I think
for
so.
His career as of right now. Yeah. So that's what puts him up in the fifth slot. He is behind Gary Payton at 4, MJ at 3. Oh, actually, I didn't know MJ was at 3. Jason Kidd at 2.
Man, let me tell you. See, that's
John Stockton at 1.
That's one thing that people forget. And that's why, you know, this will be a conversation that maybe we'll get about the GOAT status. You know, Jordan, you know, James, you know, LeBron. Like,
I knew he was up there in steals. I didn't know he was top 3.
Jordan was a defensive player.
I knew he was top 10.
Jordan was a beast of a defensive player. But yes, go on.
Right, but go on. But anyway, so that is where he stands right now on the leaderboards. But another guy who is atop of a leaderboard per se is that man, Chef Curry, Steph Curry from the Warriors.
Speaking of food actually, and chefs.
Right. You know, he just passed the late, great Wilt Chamberlain on the Warriors' all-time scoring list at 17,783 points. Oof. And he did it on a 53-point night in a win against the Nuggets. My man, that guy can shoot. That guy can score.
Stephen Smith called him the greatest shooter of all time after this feat. You know, he said that God personally touched him and made him, you know, his shooting hand, you know. And, you know, Reggie Miller called him Mr. Warrior, which I think that should be another one of his nicknames. I know they call him Chef Curry, but I like Mr. Warrior because I think, you know, here's the question that I've been thinking is, could Steph Curry be a guy that finishes his career with the Warriors? You know, that's not something that's seen very often now. Last person was Dirk Nowitzki, maybe with Dallas Mavericks, and All-Star, you know, not just a regular player, which even regular players move around more than All-Stars. But, you know, Steph changed the game. You know, we were talking about it earlier in our last topic. There's no doubt about that. You know, shooting off the dribble, it's hard to replicate what he can do on the court. He creates such a gravity.
Yeah, man. Just the way he creates space, you know, off screens, just dribbling around guys. I mean, it's an testament to just, you know, how good of he is as a player. And like you said, how much he's changed the game.
Yeah. And, you know, I do wonder if how many more years he'll play, because I think he can transition to being a player that just becomes a spot-up shooter, you know, at time towards the later years of his career. So that's why I do wonder if he'll stay in Golden State. Cause I think Golden State, with that front office, they'll put a winning team around him. And then even as he's not the guy anymore, they would still like to have him around, you know, off the bench player that can maybe get you some quick points here in spurts, but still be part of the organization. And I think he's, of all the players' current stars, he's the one that I see that could potentially stay in one team just because of what he means to that franchise. You know, he was instrumental in revitalizing him.
Okay. That's interesting. The spot-up shooter, that actually caught me off guard a little bit. I'm still trying to take that in because the man's 33.
He's 33, so, you know, he's...
And he's putting up some pretty good numbers this season.
But, I mean, what's...
Probably the best we've seen since that MVP years.
What's to say he doesn't pull a Tom Brady and plays into, you know, 40s or 38 and just become a spot-up shooter? Like, just, you know?
Yeah. That's true. Hey, you know what? Just, I mean, with his shooting ability.
Exactly. He's still
going to. He's going to have no problem.
Exactly. He'll have no problem, you know. So that was our last topic of the, well, at least last basketball topic, the accolades and accomplishments. But while we have some time left here, Alex, I want to ask you, have you been watching Falcon and Winter Soldier?
Absolutely, 100%. I've even rewatched episodes, so
I've yet to do a rewatch myself, but I'm definitely gonna get into that. But yeah, it's definitely the show is more akin to what we saw from the MCU film universe, you know, the MCU cinematic universe. You know, it has that kind of feel, the story as well, but the action in it. Like, I know this last week's episode was just that fight. Oh my god, with Michihori. I'm probably pronouncing them wrong, the name.
Yeah, man, and just that ending scene with John Walker, how it mirrors Steve Rogers in Civil War, and just the complete opposite spectrum those two men are, where you see the restraint from Steve Rogers attacking Tony Stark, Iron Man in Civil War at the very end in that climactic fight, and then you see John Walker just decapitate a man in a town square in front of a bunch of people with their phones out. I mean, it definitely, you know, took a turn that I didn't expect in the show.
Who he's now, I mean, like, a super soldier, which I think you forgot to mention. He's now at that point a super soldier.
Yes, he has taken the super soldier serum. So he's falling off the rails a little bit, which I kind of expected, just not to that extent.
Yeah.
First, because when he first came on, I was like, oh, okay, look at this guy. Like, hey, John Walker, I'm Captain America. Okay, dude, like, you don't gotta say it like that, man. We get it. You're Captain America. Just, dude, right. Like, okay, man, you're John Walker. But yeah, man, just to see sort of, if you want to call it a fall from grace, you know, since then, and I love the Dor Milaje. Just kind of
Dor Milaje. Yes, they just kicked ass.
Going off on him.
I do want to say I love that they had that they gave the Winter Soldier like they knew what parts to kind of touch, you know, they installed that into his arm where if they need to they can disarm him. That was pretty sweet. I know some people were upset because it means that they don't fully trust him, but I mean, you know, this guy's the Winter Soldier, so I think especially after
it's
he's
a contingency.
Done, exactly, it's a contingency, and it's also, you know, I think he's like, you know, it's fine because of everything he's done, all the people that he's killed. He's like, I understand it, you know, which is something that I understand is, I know on social media, on Twitter, where I happen to live most of the time, where Twitter gives you everything. Like, Twitter was where I found out about Jamal Murray getting hurt, and just my timeline was all Jamal Murray. But something that came up recently on my timeline was some people were actually in favor of what John Walker did at the end, which just kind of shook me. I couldn't comprehend how these people saw it that way, you know, and I question whether they knew what they were for, you know, that's not what Captain America stands for.
Yeah, man. I mean, I know we talked about it a little bit pre-show, and I found that pretty bizarre. I actually, you know, for the general consensus is that John Walker is a jerk and nobody likes
yeah,
him.
Yeah, pretty much. Which, hey, shout out right, to that actor. That he's doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, man. Wyatt Russell, son of Kurt Russell, is killing the role. But I mean, back to the point you just made about people agreeing with John Walker's actions. I mean, whether it's a joke or you're really all for it, truly. I mean, I don't know if they don't grasp what the point the show is trying to make.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, with that character and sort of the general theme of that show as a whole. I mean, I don't know. I'm not speaking for those people. I don't know those people, but it's just kind of like, are you watching the same show as we are?
Right.
Because that was pretty messed up.
Yeah, it was pretty dark. I don't think, like I said, you said you were shocked, and I was just as aghast. I was taken aback. I was like, wow, is this really happening? And then I was like, oh my god, everybody's recording them. And now I can't wait for today's episode. I know it already came out. I've stayed off social media so far today, so just so I don't see it. But yeah, it's definitely gonna be. I'm interested to see where the show goes from here. You know, I do like the implications beyond just, you know, the John Walker story. I also like the how they've explaining what happened after the snap and how there's a council getting people back and, you know, back to civilization and back to getting adjusted to coming back to the world that was used to not having them there.
Right. Just this getting back to this normalcy that honestly we're trying to get to, what we're trying to
right,
get
ourselves,
to
right?
ourselves as a world, which is so just the timing of all this. It's like, you know, you can't make this stuff up, you know, just the real world correlation with what's going on in the MCU. But one little last thing I want to mention is also too is how Sam Wilson, his reaction towards John Walker now and his feelings to saying like, okay, I think like I truly need to take up the mantle now, because not only is you know, John Walker, you know, just tarnishing, you know, the legacy of Captain America, but just once again reviving just this symbol of hope in the world, just a hero that people can entrust in, like they did with Steve Rogers.
Definitely. No, yeah, definitely. I think you hit it on the head. I think Sam Wilson should have never gave up the damn shield. But
nah, man, I was just like, why? Like, you put in the Smithsonian. I mean, okay, I've been there once. It was cool, but come on. Like,
right. All right. Well, that's all we have. Really, that's all the topics we have. Alex, what are your plans for the weekend before we say goodbye to these good people?
My dad's birthday's coming up. So
hey, shout out.
A little early birthday dinner.
Shout
Happy
out.
Early birthday, Pop. Love you. So
what's your dad's name?
My mom, not my
right?
dad.
What's your dad's name?
Julio.
Julio. Shout out, Julio. Happy birthday from the Basketball Fiends.
yes. But yeah, those are the plans for me. What about you yourself?
Nice. I got today the Dynamo start their season. Actually, people don't know, but I actually cover the Houston Dynamo for my own site, thebayoucitian.com. So I'll be watching that game tonight. And this weekend I have my nephew's 1 year old birthday, so that's gonna be fun. Shout out, Chewy! Happy birthday!
Okay, happy birthday! We got the birthdays this episode.
A lot of birthdays. So yeah, but it should be a good time. Haven't had a good family outing in a while, so it should be. Most of us are vaccinated, which just makes it awesome.
Okay, yeah. You don't need to show off. I got my first shot.
Oh, that's awesome! That's great. You buried the lead. We should have started the. That's how we should have started the show.
Yeah, well, whatever. So I got my first shot, so it's all good.
There you go. Well, there you go.
I'm excited for that second one.
All right, there we go. Well, there we go, people. Thank you so much for listening to us. Come back next week. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.